Hi, I'm Terry Marr. Welcome to Traveling on Chris. For the next half hour, we'll feature travel tips and articles from a variety of publications. Our first story comes from USA Today and is titled, Changes Coming to Disney's Access Service. Designed to ensure DAS reaches those in need. This is by Eve Chen. Walt Disney World and Disneyland are changing their policies for guests with disabilities. Florida and California resorts will keep their popular Disability Access Service, DAS, but adjust qualifications, registration procedures, and length of validity to help ensure guests receive the accommodations they need. Disney is dedicated to providing a great experience for all guests, including those with disabilities, which is why we are so committed to delivering a wide range of innovative support services aimed at helping our guests with disabilities have a wonderful time when visiting our theme parks, a Disney spokesperson said in a statement. Here's what travelers with disabilities should know. What is DAS? Disney World and Disneyland previously described their Disability Access Service as a program, quote, to assist guests who have difficulty tolerating extended waits in a conventional queue environment due to a disability. Guests who qualify for and enroll in DAS wait just as long as guests in the standby line, sometimes a little longer, but they don't have to physically stay in the queue. Instead, they can join the line virtually, wait out the designated time elsewhere in the park, then return to the attraction for a shorter wait. Who qualifies for DAS at Disney? Not all disabilities impact the ability to tolerate long waits in traditional queues. For example, guests in wheelchairs or electric conveyance vehicles may still be able to wait in many lines in their mobility devices. New updates to the resort's accessibility webpages further clarify DAS's intended audience. Guests who, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar, are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. How do you qualify for a Disney Disability Pass? Registering for DAS involves meeting with a specially trained cast member who can determine if DAS is the right fit. In the past, that can be done in advance online or in person at both resorts. Conversation lasts just minutes, though online waits have historically taken longer. How is DAS changing? Starting May 20th for Disney World, guests may only enroll in DAS with a virtual video meeting, not in person at the parks. Highly recommended to do so in the planning stages of the trip. The virtual chats will also be available on the day of visits. Again, they will no longer be available in person at Disney World. Disneyland guests may continue to register for DAS with a virtual video call ahead of their trip, which is strongly encouraged, or in person on the day of visits. But starting June 18th, the location for registration will move from guest services inside the parks to the outside Esplanade area, between Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. Virtual video calls will be similar to what existing and past DAS enrollees are used to having with cast members. But Disney is also partnering with Inspire Health Alliance, whose experts may be brought in. DAS may be used by the enrollee and up to four companions or more if there are more than four immediate family members who all want to experience an attraction together. How long is DAS at Disney good for? Guests who are previously enrolled in DAS may use it for 60 days from their date of registration, with no changes required. New enrollees registering between now and May 19th at Disney World or June 17th at Disneyland will have up to 30 days to use the service, starting from their date of registration. Beginning May 20th at Disney World and June 18th at Disneyland, new DAS enrollments will be valid for 120 days, double the previous 60. Why is Disney making these changes? DAS has become the most requested service at Disneyland and Disney World in recent years, with the volume of users eclipsing the program's intended audience and numbers only expected to grow. That in turn impacts waits and experiences for those who need the accommodations. Changes are designed to help ensure DAS reaches its intended audience. Meanwhile, Disney is also increasing the number of specially trained cast members to help guests with other access needs find the right accommodations. Those may include American Sign Language interpretation, Disney handheld devices that provide captions and visual descriptions for guests with hearing impairment, Braille guidebooks and maps, sensory guides for attractions, and at Disneyland, location return times for guests with mobility devices or other physical needs that can't be accommodated by older, non-wheelchair accessible attraction queues. What does Disney consider a disability? Disney recognizes all kinds of disabilities and access needs, many of which are invisible. While guests won't find an exhaustive list of disabilities on Disney's websites, their newly updated accessibility pages serve as a first stop in navigating accommodations. Cast members are also available to answer questions in staffed virtual chats. Does Disney request proof of disability? Disney does not require documentation proving disability or access needs, nor will they be required with these upcoming changes. Aurora reveals its latest small ship. Douglas Mawson to launch in 2025. This is by Nathan Diller of USA Today. Aurora Expedition's new ship will take guests on adventures befitting its name. The Australian-owned company will add a new purpose-built small ship, Douglas Mawson, to its fleet next year, Aurora revealed Tuesday. We're thrilled to be launching the newest and final Infinity-class vessel, which we have named in honor of pioneering Australian geologist and explorer Sir Douglas Mawson, CEO Michael Heath said in a news release. Mawson organized the first Australian-led expedition to Antarctica in the early 1900s, which charted large portions of the East Antarctic coastline and gathered scientific data in areas such as biology, marine science, and geology amid brutal conditions. The ship he and his team used, Aurora, also inspired Aurora Expedition's name decades later. When will Aurora Expedition's Douglas Mawson launch? The ship is set to launch in December 2025 and will carry an average of 154 passengers. What can guests expect on board? Details on the ship's full program, including its inaugural voyage, are still to be announced, but the vessel will offer trips to East Antarctica, marking Aurora's first time sailing there in 15 years. Those will include a Mawson's Antarctica itinerary departing from Hobart in Tasmania. Sailing will take guests to Mawson's Huts, a group of structures at Cape Denison used by his team during the Australasian Antarctic Expedition, as well as explorations of New Zealand's sub-Antarctic islands. Like its sister ships, Greg Mortimer and Sylvia Earle, Douglas Mawson will have the Ulstein X-Bow, which is aimed at increasing fuel efficiency and making ocean crossing smoother and faster, particularly useful in the unpredictable Antarctic weather. The vessel will also have a changing room and mudroom, where passengers can get ready to explore off-ship, Zodiac access points, and an onboard science center. Between outings, guests will find plenty of ways to relax and recharge. Douglas Mawson will feature two restaurants and three bars, a heated outdoor swimming pool, a gym, a sauna, a library, and more. There will be 11 stateroom and suite categories, including Aurora's first single berth accommodations, quote, to cater to the growing solo traveler segment, unquote, according to the release. How much will expeditions on Douglas Mawson cost? Prices are not yet available, but travelers can pre-register their interest in the ship on Aurora's website. Those who do so before April 18th will get a $2,000 discount per pair of guests. Norwegian cruise guests race to rejoin ship. Eight were left stranded after late return in port, by Nathan Diller of USA Today. A group of Norwegian Cruise Line passengers was left behind after returning late to their ship in Africa. Eight guests missed the last tender back to Norwegian Dawn while the ship was visiting the island nation of Sao Tome and Principe on Wednesday, according to a spokesperson for the line. They were on a tour not organized through Norwegian. Two guests, Jay and Jill Campbell, told South Carolina's ABC 15 News their tour went longer than expected. When they returned, the ship was still in port, and the captain declined to let them board despite numerous attempts to reach Norwegian. At one point, they said the island nation's Coast Guard took them to the ship on a boat, told them to return to shore. Captain could have made an easy decision to turn one of the tender boats back, pick us up, safely load us, and then go on the way, Jay Campbell told the outlet. When the guests did not return to the vessel at the all-aboard time, their passports were delivered to the local port agents to retrieve when they returned to the port, as per the regular protocol, the Norwegian spokesperson said in an emailed statement. Our team has been working closely with the local authorities to understand the requirements and necessary visas needed for the guests to rejoin the ship at the next available port call. Since then, the passengers have been scrambling to catch up to the crews. Here's what to do if you get stranded during a stop and how to minimize the chance of being left behind. What happens if I don't get back to my cruise in time? Cruise lines warn guests they may get stuck if they don't return to the ship by the stated all-aboard time. While this is a very unfortunate situation, guests are responsible for ensuring they return to the ship at the published time, which is communicated broadly over the ship's intercom, in the daily print communication and posted just before exiting the vessel, the Norwegian spokesperson said. Cruise ships are on tight schedules while in port, said Joanna Cuther, New York City-based travel agent and owner of Portside Travel Consultants. So if they have to leave at a certain time, they have to leave at that time, she said. It could be that there's another ship coming in. It could be that people aren't going to be there to be working on the pier. Campbell has told ABC 15 News that they traveled through six countries for 15 hours to reach Gambia, where the ship was due to stop on Monday. However, the vessel was unable to dock due to low tides. Norwegian said it made the change, quote, due to adverse weather conditions as well as tidal restrictions that require specific timing for safe passage. While we share in our guests' disappointment, this modification was made with great consideration for their safety and that of our crew, which is our top priority, the spokesperson added. Cruise Line authorized them to rejoin the ship in Dakar, Senegal on Tuesday. Kuther recommended guests who missed their all-aboard time contact the cruise line and let them know and reach out to their travel agent, if they have one, who can help handle the logistics. She said the nearest U.S. embassy may also be able to assist them. Travelers responsible for added expenses? Travelers who do not board their ship in time are generally responsible for getting themselves to the next port of call, according to Kuther. Travel insurance won't be much good in that scenario either. Typically, travel delay coverage / missed connection coverage is due to a delay of a common carrier, such as an airline delay or cancellation for a covered reason, which caused you to miss your cruise / tour departure, Megan Walsh, director of product at Sure My Trip, said in an email. An excursion supplier not getting you back to your cruise in time is typically not covered. A Norwegian spokesperson said the cruise line is reimbursing the 8 guests for their travel expenses from Banjul, Gambia, to Dakar, but Kuther stressed that kind of compensation is definitely the exception to the rule. How to avoid getting stranded? When choosing a shore excursion, Kuther said it's safest to book through the cruise line or with another vendor that guarantees to get passengers back to the ship on time or to the next port. Travel agents can help guests find those options, or they can ask operators about their policies directly when booking. Just in case something does go wrong, travelers should bring a credit card or debit card so they have a way to cover any costs they might incur. Kuther typically recommends bringing an ID because you don't want to be carrying around your passport. Travelers are going on a private excursion without that kind of guarantee, it's a different story. You probably should have your passport with you because you're going to need it to get on a flight to get to the next port, especially if it's in a different country, she said. At the very least, it's a good idea for travelers to have a photo of their passport on hand and share a copy with someone back home who is easily reachable. She also recommended they make sure their phone or watch is set to ship time rather than the time of the destination, which may be different. The all board time will be on ship time. So many people get confused with that, Kuther said. To be safe, she suggested guests get back to the ship an hour early if they're exploring on their own or on a self-booked excursion in case they hit traffic or face other issues. One of those things like it's not a problem until it's a problem, Kuther said. She urged travelers not to expect the ship to wait. They can, I'm sure they will, but I would never tell someone don't worry about it. Now's best time to see Pinnacles National Park, by Eve Chen of USA Today. Why is Pinnacles National Park famous? Pinnacles is known for its namesake rock spires, wildflowers, and wildlife, particularly California condors. They were a bird that was on the brink of extinction, said Richard Moore, park's manager of interpretation and visitor services. According to the National Park Service, as few as 22 California condors were left by the early 1980s. Collaborative conservation efforts have boosted the still critically endangered species numbers. Pinnacles National Park is one place where captive-bred California condors are released into the wild. Wildlife being wildlife, I hate to guarantee that you're going to see anything particular, but Moore said, your chance of seeing a condor here at Pinnacles is exceptionally good. Park's caves are also popular. One of the largest explorable talus cave systems in the United States is here at Pinnacles, Simon said. Visitors wanting to experience this should know conditions are rugged. Park's stargazing opportunities are less famous, nonetheless notable. They are spotlighted in star parties over the summer. We have a really nice night sky here at Pinnacles, Moore said. How long should I spend at Pinnacles National Park? Moore said most visitors spend a day in the park, but avid hikers and rock climbers may stay longer. You definitely won't get the full Pinnacles experience if you were just driving by, stopping in for an hour, he said. There are more than 30 miles of trail at Pinnacles. One thing we've been trying to transition toward is making Pinnacles a park for all seasons, for all people, Moore said, offering Pruitt Point as an example. Not only accessible, it's also just a great view of the park. What is the closest city to Pinnacles National Park? The city of Hollister is closest to the east side of the park. Soledad is closest to the west. Two halves don't connect and offer compelling but separate trip options, said Simons. The east has the campground and the most photogenic part of the park, the Bear Gulch Reservoir, while the west is day use only and has the best spot for sunsets and moonrises on the lesser known but fantastically gorgeous Pruitt Point Trail. Closest major airport is San Jose Mineta International Airport. San Jose, Santa Cruz, and Monterey are all less than 1.5 hours away by car from Pinnacles. How much does it cost to go to the Pinnacles? There is a $30 entry fee for private vehicles at the park. Can I drive through Pinnacles National Park? No, there is no road through the park, which spans over 26,000 acres. For comparison, Yosemite spans nearly 760,000 acres. You can drive around the outside, and that takes about an hour and a half, Moore said. Make sure that when you're putting it in your navigation system, GPS, what have you, make sure that it's going to the south. There is technically a road that runs to the north, but it's not well maintained. It's not a road that I would intentionally send anybody on. What month is best to visit Pinnacles National Park? If we're looking specifically for wildflowers, April would probably be the one, but we're also busier in April, Moore said. On the flip side, he said August is the least visited time of year when temperatures can reach triple digits. I'm prepared, he said. If you're going to the caves, you want to bring a headlamp. If you're going to go up to the high peaks, make sure you bring enough water and snacks with you. Is Pinnacles National Park worth visiting? Yes, but don't expect it to be empty just because it's among America's 15 least visited national parks. You will be sorely mistaken if you come out on a Saturday and it's beautiful out, Moore said. You're probably going to encounter a line of cars trying to do just what you're doing, enjoy the park. With limited parking available, Simon said visitors can sometimes wait an hour for a parking spot or be turned away on busy weekends. Monday through Friday, visitors have the caves and condors entirely to themselves, he said. Come during the week and skip the crowds. What native tribes are tied to Pinnacles National Park? The group that would be most associated with the park would be the Chelan Indian Nation, Moore said. North of here, we also have worked with the Ama Mutsun Tribal Band. He said there may be other native tribes with historic ties. It's an evolving story. Beauty of Maldives is no longer a secret. Climate crisis sparks issues for travel hotspots by Kathleen Wan of USA Today. When imagining paradise, the Maldives' pristine beauty often comes to mind. Powdery white sand reflects sunlight so brilliantly it feels like it's searing your pupils. The inviting turquoise water is crystal clear, showcasing fish swimming below the surface like a glass aquarium. You may even spot a baby black-tipped shark hugging the shoreline if you're lucky. Spend a little time on hashtag travel TikTok or Instagram and you'll see endless videos and images of the Maldives and its iconic over-the-water villas. Put guests literally inches from the ocean. Resorts occupy entire islands, lending a sense of privacy and luxury desired by travelers. Maldives' rapid rise becoming a top travel bucket list destination unfolded only over the past 50 years, with no signs of slowing down. International tourism accounts for 58.3% of the economy, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council. Following closely behind is fishing. 2033, it's forecast to make up nearly 60.7%. The number of tourists visiting consistently surpasses previous records. In 2022, there were 1.68 million tourists, and in 2023, more than 1.8 million tourists visited the country with just over 500,000 residents. The outlook for the Maldives tourism industry has never looked brighter. We are confident that we can achieve the 2 million tourist target set for this year, Fathmath Tafiq, CEO and Managing Director of Maldives Marketing and Public Relations Corporation, told USA Today. Now recognized as a sought-after vacation spot, the country is focusing on preserving its beaches and coral reefs, primary factors drawing in visitors amid climate change and increased human activity. As the world's lowest-lying country, we are acutely aware of the crisis and its daily impacts, Tafiq said. Our very livelihood, heavily reliant on a thriving tourism industry, is inextricably linked to safeguarding our pristine environment. Kept secret for decades, before the 1970s, the Maldives, a remote archipelago comprising 1,192 islands in the Indian Ocean, was a kept secret amongst the most adventurous travelers, Tafiq said. There was essentially no tourism infrastructure. Many islands were uninhabited. To this day, more than 1,000 remain so, visited only by locals for beach days and picnics. Local villages sustained themselves with coconuts and fishing. The country's first official resort opened in 1972 by a Maldivian on a former coconut farm. It encompassed 30 rooms built of coral and limestone with palm thatch roofs. The resort was called Corumba, meaning coconut in the local Divihi language. It was a rugged experience with guests wading through water from the boat to the shore and not much to do besides fishing and enjoying the beach. Meals were served in canteens or in a beach barbecue. Despite this, the natural beauty of the Maldives was a complete hook, line, and sinker. New resorts are continuously being developed to accommodate the growing number of visitors. From 2023 to 2024, 7 opened across the atolls, bringing the total number of operating resorts to 175, the Ministry of Tourism reported. Government has played an active role in shaping the Maldives as a tourist hotspot. Though Russian and Chinese tourists have long dominated the market, more Americans are making the trek to the Maldives as interest in ecotourism grows, Tafiq said. 64% of Americans surveyed in Booking.com's 2024 travel predictions said they look for sustainable accommodations. Today's resorts offer the same beloved beachside experience while pushing the boundaries of what they can offer the travelers. Part of a Maldivian-owned Sun Siam Resorts, the all-inclusive Siam World offers guests more than they could ever imagine to stand out among the many other resorts. The 133-acre resort, which opened in 2021, offers the classic sunset cruise, snorkeling and dolphin cruise excursions, as well as the Indian Ocean's biggest floating water park and a FIFA-standard soccer field. Guests can choose from water activities, including flyboarding, e-surfing, and the self-proclaimed world's first underwater jetpack. Face of the climate crisis. While frolicking in the water, some tourists may not realize the Maldives is grappling with a climate crisis. Sitting at an average 3.77 feet above sea level, the Maldives is highly vulnerable to coastal erosion and rising sea levels. In 2018, scientists from the United States Geological Survey predicted that as much as 80% of the Maldives could be uninhabitable by 2050. The islands are particularly susceptible to flooding, droughts that affect freshwater access, and storm surges. Nearly 45% of resorts have reported some kind of beach erosion, according to the 2015 Maldives Climate Change Policy Framework. The country is moving swiftly to mitigate the damage from climate change. From the very beginning, the Maldivian tourism industry has been rooted in sustainability, Tafiq said, adding that nearly all tourist facilities embrace some sort of sustainability practice. In February, the Maldivian government partnered with the U.S. Agency for International Development to launch the Ecotourism Framework and Roadmap, which designated 90 sites as protected and introduced ecotourism certification. The roadmap joins a list of sustainability initiatives in action. Since 2022, single-use plastic-like straws and bags has been banned. Rich in sunshine, the country is hoping to become net zero by 2030, mainly through solar power. Solar projects are already underway at some resorts. Maldives also is trying to convert solid waste into electricity to replace the former process of burning it on Thilafushi Island by 2027. In the breathtaking paradise of the Maldives, sustainable tourism isn't just a concept, it's a commitment to nurturing the very essence of these stunning islands, said Irkaim Tabadiva, sustainability manager at Sun Siam Irufushi, a resort on the Nunu Atoll. The resort received the International Sustainable Award by Luxury Lifestyle Awards in 2023. Not only are plastic bottles eliminated on the property via an in-house water bottling and filtration system, but the resort also collaborates with nearby local islands to host educational workshops on sustainability and marine conservation for local young people. The resort also shreds and composts green waste on the property. Despite resorts like Irufushi making every effort, the rise in sea levels threatens their future. Tabaldeva said the sustainability team is, quote, continuously brainstorming solutions, unquote, such as seawalls and mangrove trees. Responsible tourism. Travelers to the Maldives can reduce their environmental impact on the island nation while immersing themselves in Maldivian culture. Maldives holds an equally vibrant soul, pulsating with a rich cultural heritage that stretches back centuries and awaits you wherever you go, Afiq said. She recommends travelers go beyond the confines of their resorts and seek out local markets in the capital, Malé. Most travelers arrive before boarding a seaplane or speedboat to their final destination, or visit a traditional fishing village. Tabaldeva added that when exploring the ocean, guests could be mindful not to step or touch coral reefs. Most resorts have an on-site marine biologist ready to educate and help keep the house reef healthy. Additionally, visitors can pack their waste, including empty toiletry bottles, dispose of upon returning home given the pressing waste management challenges facing the island. Cruise ship features Magic Club. World Protected Secret to Open on Sun Princess by Nathan Diller, USA Today. Pianist at a lounge on Princess Cruises' new ship played the theme song from Titanic while guests sipped their cocktails. It may seem like dark humor, but the musician is a ghost after all. As the story goes, Isabella lives inside the space entertaining guests. She even takes requests. In actuality, the instrument which appeared to play itself is part of Spellbound by Magic Castle, a new venue on the Sun Princess that combines dinner, drinks, and magic. Speakeasy-like space was created in partnership with the Magic Castle, a legendary private club in Los Angeles. Denise Savas, the cruise line's vice president for entertainment experience, said during a recent sailing that the Magic Castle has been a, quote, well-protected secret, unquote. As a members-only club, you can only attend by invitation, but they are keen to expand, and a partnership with us was a really great way to do that, where we have a ton of international guests who may not ever get over to Hollywood, and therefore it's not in reach, Savas said. USA Today got a preview of Spellbound during a cruise ahead of its opening next month. Here's what guests can expect. What is Spellbound like? Guests will start the evening with dinner in the Horizon's dining room and choosing from a menu not found elsewhere on board. Our preview did not include the dinner portion. They will then be escorted through an inconspicuous black door off the ship's piazza into a spellbound small foyer. There, a voice on a speaker tells the story of the Larson family who opened the Magic Castle in 1963 for a few minutes. We were prompted to say the magic words, open sesame, and the fireplace in front of us moved aside to reveal a music room and the parlor bar lined with art and artifacts curated with help from the Magic Castle. A pair of handcuffs used by famed escape artist Harry Houdini even hung on one wall. Isabella and her companion, a white bird named the Professor, can be seen in a portrait in the music room. She is a cousin of another ghost, Irma, who lives at the Magic Castle in California. Irma never loved to travel, but Isabella did, said Carrie Lovegrove, Princess's director of entertainment experience. She traveled probably one too many times across the Atlantic, and then all of a sudden she was lost at sea. So she suddenly found the Sun Princess being built in Monfalcone and thought she'd attach herself onto that ship. Isabella disappears from view when she's ready to play. The Professor, meanwhile, moves over to a nearby birdcage to enjoy the music. I saw him swaying to My Heart Will Go On at one point. Behind the bar, a library holds its own not-so-hidden treasures. Picked up a gold rotary phone and heard someone ask, "How can I help?" before changing their mind and hanging up. Guests might also see books float and fall, according to Lovegrove. Even the drinks appear enchanted. One cocktail I ordered, The Magician, featured Butterfly Pea Tequila, turned from blue to purple as a server poured it into the glass, also containing mezcal, lime, grapefruit, serrano peppers, and agave. Spellbound hosts magic in the bar as well as its 30-seat theater. Before theater seating opened, Mark Gibson kept us glued to his card deck, at one point finding the card fellow guest chose by cutting the deck with the assistance of a tiny plunger. Woody Aragon also used cards in the theater, including asking an audience member to call someone who wasn't in the room to pick one. Spoiler, he named their chosen card correctly. The parlor bar magician will stay on the ship for a couple of months at a time, and the magician performing in the theater will change every cruise or two. But all are vetted by the Magic Castle team. When will Spellbound by Magic Castle open? Spellbound will open April 8th and is now available to book. Guests must be at least 13 to enter, and just like at the venue's Hollywood namesake, there is a mandatory dress code. My invitation called for cocktail attire. Cruise Line will host its second Magic Castle Conjurers cruise-themed sailing on Sun Princess in November. How much does Spellbound cost? The experience costs $149 per person, including dinner, entertainment, and unlimited drinks. Spellbound will offer 3 theater shows a night and can accommodate a total of 90 guests, 30 each night. Once they're in the space, they can stay as long as they like until it closes for the night. There are dinner seatings at 5, 7, and 9 p.m., and Spellbound is expected to close around midnight, though there is no hard closing time. Lovegrove said the venue serves as a new home base for magic, which already proved popular with princess guests and other spaces on its ships. If you love magicians, this is the spot for you. That's all the traveling time we have today. I'm Terry Marr, so long until next time.